Today's scripture is John 1, 6 through 8, and 19 through 28. There came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning the light, so that through him all men might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives the light to every man was coming into the world. Now this was John's testimony when the Jews of Jerusalem sent priests and Levites to ask him who he was. He did not fail to confess, but confessed freely. "I am not the Christ," they asked him. "Then who are you? Are you Elijah?" He said, "I am not." "Are you the prophet?" He answered, "No." Finally they said, "Who are you? Give us an answer to take back to those who sent us. What do you say about yourself?" John replied in the words of Isaiah the prophet, "I am the voice of one calling the desert, make straight the way for the Lord." Now some of the Pharisees who had been sent questioned him, "Why then do you baptize if you are not Christ, nor Elijah, nor the prophet?" "I baptize with water," John replied, "but among you stands one you do not know. He is the one who comes after me, the thongs of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie." This all happened at Bethany on the other side of Jordan, where John was baptizing. This is the word of God.
All right, let's go ahead and pray together this morning. Dear Lord, we're just grateful to be before you this morning. We ask, oh God, that your Holy Spirit now settle us and settle into us and settle into this place. Make us alive to your word. I ask, oh God, that the words that you've given me to say today will land where you need them to land and do the work that you've appointed them to do. I ask this in your name. Amen. So this time of year is a time of year where we will begin to become aware of a lot of our holiday habits, right? We're going to be surrounded by and see a lot of goodies and treats, and we're going to associate them with pleasure and with consumption and with mirth and with joy, and we're going to revel in those things, and we're just going to just put our arms around those things and just enjoy the season. And then January is going to come, and we're going to be told that all of that mirth and all that joy and all that consumption and all that abundance and all that stuff that we did was really the biggest mistake that we could ever have made. And now it's time to shift gears and commit ourselves to exercise. We're going to look at those pounds we've put on. We're going to look at those muscles that are looking a little flabby now, and we're going to have to commit to exercise, to which I will say, and maybe you will too if you're like me, I don't think so. At least I'm not going to do it now. Maybe I'll think about it later. Of course, the problem with that is, you know, all those muscles that are, you know, used to be here, now they're settled somewhere else. They're not going to get any better just because I don't want to address the issue. Every time I look in the mirror, that voice that's saying, exercise, 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 that voice is going to be calling to me. And every time I look in the mirror, I'm going to have to make a decision. Am I going to be satisfied with where all those things have settled, even though where they have settled is not satisfactory to me? Or am I going to follow that voice? And am I going to change? Maybe do something different? Start that exercise program. Well, it's easy for us. In fact, it's natural for us to become satisfied with where we have settled, not just in our health, but in all kinds of areas of our lives, to be satisfied with where we have settled, even if where we've settled is unsatisfactory. But God really calls us to more than that. God calls us to step away from those places where we've become settled and into what he has next for us. And what he has next for us is always best for us. But it's not always easy to get there. We have to hear that voice and follow that voice, right? And this is in our family lives. It's in our church lives. It's in our relationship with God. We're always being called by God to follow that voice into the next thing. And when He is calling us, that next thing is the best thing. Now that's what John is doing in this passage today. He's calling people. He's calling people from those far-flung regions in Jerusalem and Jericho, where people are kind of settled into their lives. And He is calling them into something new. He's calling them to go across this wilderness, this desert wilderness, and meet Him at the Jordan River, where He is living an austere life. He's down there camped out by the Jordan River, and He's wearing camel skins, you know, and He's eating locusts, and He is baptizing people. And crowds are coming all that way to be there with Him. Crowds are coming by the hundreds, maybe even the thousands. And they're coming there to be baptized by John. Where John takes them, you know, and He dunks them underneath the water, their whole bodies, their whole heads, just immerses them in water and raises them up. And they're doing this as an outward sign of their inward desire, an inward desire to be cleansed of the sins of their past, to maybe be released from the habitual things that they do that displease God, and make a commitment to be able to do things to please God. In other words, they're coming there as a sign of their desire to step away from where they have settled in their lives and step towards God's great what's next for them. And in this case, man, God's what's next for them was huge. All of those people who came down there who had listened to John believed that God's great what's next for them was the end of the world as they knew it, which is pretty big. It wasn't a destructive end, though. It was a brand new beginning. The people who were listening to John and coming down there to be baptized and take that step into the next big thing believed that this was the moment that God had ordained, that He was going to bring to fruition His big plan for the nation of Israel. His big plan for the world. That can be really summed up kind of like this. God says to the nation of Israel, I am your God. You are my people. I love you. I care for you. And I am committed to saving you. And because of that relationship that we have, soon the whole world is going to know that I am their God. And the whole world is going to know how I love them. And the whole world is going to be saved through you. That is big stuff. And those people are coming all that way across this forbidding desert, down to the place where John is baptizing, because they believe that they are part of this. They are on the cusp of this new era. This new era that's going to be ushered in by the Messiah, this Savior, who's going to come. He's going to gather all of the Jewish people who are in exile together back into their country. He's going to renew their nation. And that Messiah is going to rule a kingdom of God. So the people are coming down to make themselves spiritually ready to receive this Messiah. And John calls them. And he calls them with these great words. Great words that the prophet Isaiah had spoken hundreds of years before. I, John says, am a voice calling in the wilderness, calling you to the wilderness. Calling in the wilderness. Make straight this path for the Lord. And he calls those people. And they come with this idea that now, at this time, at this precious time, they are going to step away from all that they believed was settled about their lives, their broken country, their broken spirits, their broken hearts. They're going to step away from that into God's great what's next for them, that they know is best for them. And it happens, right? The Messiah does come. Jesus comes. And he comes and he does establish a kingdom of God here on earth. Hey, it looked a little different and it came about a little differently than they thought it would, but it is here. We know that. We know that as we believe in Jesus, as we have faith in Jesus, we join in that great kingdom of God that exists right here. And we also know that as we commit to Jesus, we hear his voice and hopefully, we follow that voice. And that voice, even today, even for you and even for me, is always going to be calling us away from where we've settled into his what's next. And his what's next is always going to be best for us. And you know, we all have ideas about where we want our lives to go, the way we want our kids' lives to go, the way we hope that we are headed. Sometimes, though, it's hard to know if we're really heading in the right direction, right? Because we can't see the future. Be nice if we could. If we could see the future, we would be in good shape, right? But we can't. There's an old saying that says that the future is always ahead of us, you know? And you would think we'd be able to see it. But the future is ahead of us, this old saying says. The way that where we are going is ahead of us when we're rowing a boat. We can't see it. In a sense, it's behind us. And the only way that we can really know if we are navigating in the right direction, if we are heading in the right direction, is paying attention to what's around us and where we've been. And the good news is, that's a pretty good indication of where we are headed. If we pay attention and honestly look at where we are in our lives and what's going on around us and where we have been. The problem is, it's hard to look honestly sometimes, isn't it? Now, sometimes it's kind of easy, like in the example I was talking about before, right? If we have this idea, that this vision for ourselves as, you know, trim and fit, you know, and ready to go. But around us, we see that, you know, in the past, we've never stayed on an exercise program. And in the present, you know, we're eating junk food and chasing it with beer and, you know, taking those long weekends on the couch. You get the picture. That's a good, pretty good indication of where we're headed health-wise. But sometimes it's not so easy or obvious, is it? There are things that we don't really so much want to look at. Like, let's say our homes. Let's say we have a vision that we would like our homes to be a place where everybody in the household is thriving, is growing, is reaching their potential in an atmosphere of stability and calm and encouragement. If that's our vision, but in our past, and this might be hard to look at, but in our past, we've grown up with contention and with strife. And every other day in our household, it seems like contentiousness and strife is just kind of boiling up. Well, there's no reason to think that our future is going to be anything but contentiousness and strife. And I know it seems obvious, but we persist sometimes, don't we, in thinking that somehow, some way, magically, something is going to knock us into a new course. That rarely happens. Usually, what we see around us and what we've experienced in the past is a pretty good indication of where we are going. Unless we're listening to that voice of God, when we follow that voice, that can be a catalyst for real dramatic change. Not that we don't have to stay with it, but that voice, that commitment, that step towards God's what's next for us can be a real catalyst for big change. Jesus told a story of a man who came to him and he wanted nothing more but to follow Jesus. He wanted a piece of what Jesus had. He just wanted that life in his life. He said, "Oh, Jesus, can I follow you?" And Jesus says, "Yes, you can follow me. Come along. But there's one thing in your life you have to step away from. There's one thing in your life that is going to hold you back from really diving into this what's next that I have for you." And for this man, it was his wealth. It was his love of money, his dependence on money, his trust of money over all things. Jesus said, "Yeah, you have to step away from that." Well, the man thought it over, and he walked away disappointed. He loved Jesus, but not enough to follow that voice. Maybe there's something that you and I need to look at in ourselves. Maybe there's something that God has been sort of calling us, and we know that it's something we need to just kind of let go of so that we can grab hold of His what's next for us. That vision that we have for our future. You know, many of you, that once a year I go on a retreat into a real desert wilderness on a canyon up in northern Arizona. And I'll camp there, and for 5 days or 7 days, depending on how much time I have, I'll just walk the rim of this canyon and think and pray, and it's awesome. I mean, sometimes I don't see people for days. But every year I go there, and I ask God to show me something, show me one thing that is in the way of my relationship with Him, in the way of what He wants me to be doing with my life, one thing that I need to leave behind. And there's a place there on this canyon that overlooks this rock formation that looks like a tombstone, and I've named it Gravestones, and I leave it there. I ask God to tell me what is that one thing that I need to bury in that place and not take back with me. I've been doing this for 5 years, and guess what? Every single year, there's a new thing. And I tell you, if I'm blessed to go there for 20 years, I'm going to bet you that God will come up with 20 more things that I need to bury in that place and step away from so I can grab hold of what the great what's next is that He has. But that's the beautiful thing about our faith. That's the beautiful thing about Jesus, isn't it? We are forgiven. So there's always going to be something, but it's okay. We don't have to ever be perfect. We're forgiven. But He also has given us access to the wisdom of God, His grace, His strength, so that year by year, day by day, oh yes, indeed, we can see those things that we need to step away from and become better and better and better, inching our way towards that perfection. Oh, yeah, okay, we won't get there. If you do, let me know. Be awesome to see. But we want to be inching our way there, and we can't do it when we settle, when we're satisfied to settle. We want to be going towards that great what's next that He has for us. Now look, we don't have to go away to a wilderness location to do that kind of thing. I mean, I recommend it, but you don't have to. God may be laying something on your heart today. God may have laid something on your heart this morning that would be good to step away from so we can grab on to that great what's next. But if there isn't anything on your mind right now, I'll tell you a good one. One that we could start with is peace. We're talking about peace today. Who couldn't use a little more peace in your life today? We can grab hold of that peace. If God is saying to you, yeah, it would be nice to have a little more peace, then I challenge you to try a little experiment. This week, and this is printed on your bulletin if you want to actually try this. It's in your bulletin. This week, ask yourself, is peace a word that I would use to define my circumstances today? Do I bring peace? Do I promote peace where I go, in my work, in my church, in my family? If people knew that I was a follower of Jesus, would they see in me the peace that he is famous for? And then if God is saying, yeah, you know, you could use a little more peace, I could use a little more peace in my life, then sit down with God in the morning and let God take you back. Take you wherever you need to go, to a moment, an experience, a time when you had peace in your life, when you really had a hold of it. And I mean, you might have to really do some thinking. I know I would. It might be a time when your marriage was new. It might be a time before there were kids all over the place. It might be a time when you were a kid, when you had that peace. And when you find that moment, hold on to it. Hold on to it. And know this, that when you experienced that moment of peace, God was there. And God is in that new experience of reliving that moment. And then pray, hey, God, listen. This is beautiful. Let this peace, oh God, find its way into every corner of my heart, every corner of my life. And now, God, just lead me to your great what's next. May not be peace for you, maybe something else, but the principle's the same. Principle's the same. It's easy for us. It's natural for us to get satisfied with where we have settled. In our relationship with God, in our relationship with others, in our church, in our work, all those places. It's easy to get settled. Even when where we're settled is not satisfactory. But God's calling us to more than that. He's calling us to follow that voice to the next great thing he has for us. Because his next thing is our best thing for our families, for our church, for our individual lives, for our future. Amen? Let's find him. Let's find him this week. Let's find out where he wants to take us. Let's go ahead and pray. Heavenly Father, we're grateful that you care about our lives. We're grateful, oh God, that you want to be involved in our lives, that you want to pull us into the next great thing for us. Lord, help us to trust you. Help us to follow your voice. And bless us, oh Lord. Bless us. Amen.